This is part two in a conversation with Dr. David Montgomery, author of Dirt, The Erosion of Civilizations. In part one, we looked at how agriculture is responsible for the degradation of soils worldwide and the threat to modern agriculture. In this part, we'll hear about what's happening in the soil that remains, and we'll hear about how Dr. Montgomery and his wife, Anne Bickley, have acted on what they've learned about industrial agriculture. I interviewed Dr. Montgomery in the garden of his Seattle home, and you'll hear the familiar sounds of that urban setting.
There's been a huge shift in the base of the food chain that we draw from on this planet. One of the great tragedies of industrial agriculture has been the destruction of great amounts of soil life and the basis for natural soil fertility on many of the great agricultural regions of the world. Something like a third of the carbon that's in the atmosphere now that was added after the Industrial Revolution came not from fossil fuels, but from the degradation of soil organic matter.
Critics of the Green Revolution point out that using chemical fertilizers is a losing game.
It's kind of like trying to run your agricultural fields on meth.
As time goes on, more and more chemicals must be added just to maintain crop yields.
The real problem I see with the Green Revolution approach of trying to rely on genetically engineered crops and on very high nitrogen inputs to maintain soil fertility are that what do we do at the point when the processes that we use to develop nitrogen-based fertilizers become so expensive they're not usable for food? We're going to have to rely on native soil fertility. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to systematically poison the bottom of a food chain when you're drawing your sustenance from the top of the same food chain. If we really wanted to grow as much food as is humanly possible on as small a space as possible, we would shift our agricultural practices to small-scale farms in labor-intensive organic manners.
In the world of permaculture, one of the tenets has been agroforestry or food forests. And I'm looking around your garden here where we sit, and I'm seeing that there is not a rectilinear display of basil all in one place and beans all in another and tomatoes in a third place. It's all sort of mixed together, and there are some things that are tall and other things that are short growing in the shade of the tall things and so on and so forth. Are you familiar with the terms?
Yes, yeah. And in terms of credit for garden design, I deserve none. My wife deserves the entire credit for it. She's the gardener. Yeah, she has a mixed environment. Things at a different canopy level are essentially behind what she's being able to grow. And I've been amazed at how much food she's able to grow in, you know, two fairly small vegetable plots in our backyard in the middle of a city. Now, we're not feeding ourselves. We're not trying to be, you know, the sort of the poster urban farmers. But the amount of food we're able to get seasonally out of a backyard garden in Seattle, not the part of the world most known for sunshine and great ability to grow all kinds of stuff, it's truly phenomenal what we're able to wring out of a small piece of ground with no fertilizers and no chemical help.
No fertilizers and no chemical help. Well, let's see. Fertilizers and chemical help aren't necessarily the same thing. There's something going on there in the soil. I mean, you're obviously not using this as a substrate for chemicals.
What Anne discovered is the power of essentially investing in soil life. She's been invested in soil soup, putting biota back into the soil fairly aggressively, putting organic matter back into the soil. Has taken what was the ratty lawn of a 100-year-old Seattle house and invested in the soil. When we bought the place, it was just lawn everywhere. And you could dig down into it. It was dry, dusty soil, very little life. And after about 8 years, returning organic matter to the soil, adding soil microbes and putting sort of beneficial biota back into the soil, the ground is full of life, and that life helps cycle the fertility and promote life in the plants that we then harvest to eat.
This has been part two of a conversation with Dr. David Montgomery, author of the book Dirt, The Erosion of Civilizations. While the garden we sat in uses many cutting-edge techniques, it's a private garden feeding a single family. There are thousands of such gardens across the Pacific Northwest. Next time, we'll look at some community-based gardens whose productivity makes large-scale commercial farms pale by comparison. For One World Report, this is Tom Allen.